The government owns less of AIG today.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiotakis. The Treasury Department says it sold 200 million shares of AIG stock at $29 a piece. The good news is the sale made a small profit for taxpayers who bailed the insurance giant out. The not-so-good news is the government remains the majority owner and the company is still struggling. Marketplace's John Dimsdale is with us live from Washington with the latest on that story. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Steve.
So how much did taxpayers make on the sale?
Well, the government sold at just above the break-even point, made about $50 million. This will all help wind down the government's TARP program, which was designed to bail out the banks and insurance companies that were failing in 2008. Before yesterday's sale, Treasury stake in AIG was 92%. It's now down to 77%.
Oh, all right. 77%, though, John, is still a big number. Why didn't the government sell more?
Well, Treasury's trying to sell its investments in an orderly way without offering more shares than the market will bear. Besides, Tim Massad, the acting Treasury Secretary for Financial Stability, says the government's not aiming to earn money.
The government isn't a hedge fund. We're not trying to make investments to make a profit. But the fact is that we are hopeful that we can recover almost all of the money invested under the TARP program, and that's great news for the American taxpayer.
John, will taxpayers ever be completely off the hook of AIG ownership?
The company has restructured, but remember, it is in the insurance business, and there's a lot of concern that it's on the hook for losses from storms and floods and earthquakes here and abroad. That could hurt the company's stock. Still, the new CEO said aiming to be rid of all government ownership by the middle of 2012.
John, thank you.
Thank you.
Marketplace's John Dimsdale in Washington. The Securities and Exchange Commission votes today on how corporate whistleblowers will be compensated for their deeds. The Dodd-Frank financial reform law created new rewards for corporate tipsters, but the law left it up to the SEC to decide how exactly to do that. Here's Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer.
The biggest sticking point is whether tipsters have to report suspected wrongdoing to their bosses before or as they blow the whistle. Financial Services Roundtable chief lobbyist Scott Talbot says that would give companies a chance to solve problems themselves.
That the company is in the best position to take corrective action to end the activity that's in question.
Talbot says otherwise, whistleblowers could be tempted to make false claims to earn a big bounty. They stand to get 10 to 30% of any penalty or money the SEC recovers. The whistleblower rule is designed to prevent large-scale fraud like the Bernie Madoff Ponzi scheme. The National Whistleblowers Center says tipsters need a big financial incentive to come forward without telling their bosses. The center's executive director, Stephen Cohn, says they're afraid of losing their jobs.
If you force them to go within their company, many of them will remain silent.
The SEC may not get the last word. Its rule could be rewritten by Congress or challenged in court. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European markets are slightly lower at the moment. A lot of businesses didn't buy as many pieces of equipment or heavy machinery. Orders for durable goods in April fell by the biggest amount in 6 months. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost another 25 points to close at 12,356.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By Novo Nordisk, since 1923, committed to diabetes care and areas of unmet medical needs at NovoNordisk-US.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
Today is International Geek Pride Day, which of course recognizes the inner geekdom in everyone, especially those who revel in introversion and the fact that high school wasn't all about the parties. Alexandra Robbins writes about how geeks may have been tormented as kids, but when they grow up, they tend to have the last laugh. Robbins wrote the book The Geeks Shall Inherit the Earth, and she's with us now. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
How does one's social skills as a student have anything to do with their abilities later on in life as an adult?
My research shows that just because you're popular doesn't guarantee any sort of success or satisfaction in adulthood. In fact, it means just the opposite. I call it the quirk theory, and what it means is that many of the differences that cause students to be excluded in school are the same traits or skills that others will admire, value, or respect about that person in adulthood and outside of the school setting.
Do we have any examples, Alexandra, of who embodies this quirk theory?
One is J.K. Rowling, who has said that she was bullied in school because she was a daydreamer who had her nose in books. Well, she has gone on to create a world of outsiders.
Harry Potter, of course.
Yes. Another one is Lady Gaga. When she was in school, students called her a freak and made fun of her eccentricity. Well, now she's one of the most powerful celebrities in the world for precisely that reason.
Is the dynamic of popularity changing, do you think, in today's social media mecca? We have Facebook and Twitter. And all these different ways of kids getting in touch with one another, right?
Yes, definitely. High school today is not the high school of a generation ago. Facebook basically means that students feel like they have to be their own publicists, updating their statuses and changing their photos. It's really exhausting. It's as if the cafeteria follows you around 24/7, which is why I call Facebook the online cafeteria.
Were you popular in high school?
I wasn't a member of any one group, and I was also a dork, and still am.
you and I have a lot in common, Alexandra. Alexandra Robbins, the author of The Geeks Shall Inherit the Earth. Alexandra, thanks.
Thanks.
And finally, a judge has set a hearing for next month to determine whether the government will have to pay for a rare Ferrari wrecked while in police custody. Now, the sports car was stolen from a Pennsylvania dealership in 2003. The FBI recovered it in Kentucky and kept the car as part of an investigation. When an FBI agent and assistant U.S. attorney were driving it to a new location, the car mysteriously fishtailed on a curve, hit a tree, and was totaled. The insurance company says the government owes it $750,000. The government says it won't pay. The men involved in the accident aren't saying anything. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles on Twitter at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Cigarette rolling shops offer cheaper smokes, but they're not technically cigarette makers, which means they don't technically pay taxes.
They make a profit off of the cigarettes that are being made, and they make a profit off the fact that the cigarettes are being manufactured in their store. To us, that meant that they were in the business of manufacturing cigarettes.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Why the DIY cigarette shop may go up in smoke. The story next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.